Got to 2 of 10 at one point.
Yep. Okay.
Play for 3. Boy, that's needed.
He worked off a couple screens to get that one.
Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Warriors beat the Jazz last night behind a solid defensive effort. KD, still efficient. Klay, just at 40% from 3. Steph struggles a little bit, but he's crawling his way back. And some movement on the buyout market. All that and more coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. As I said, the Warriors beat the Jazz last night, 115-108, behind a mostly solid defensive effort by most of the team. Draymond was absolutely locked in, which him going up against Rudy Gobert, it's not a surprise that Draymond would be as locked in and aggressive as he was. As we all know, him and Rudy aren't the best of friends. And a little beef there, even before this most recent Twitter emotion crying beef, whatever you want to call it. But Draymond showed up, and you could see that from the first quarter on. He was locked in. He was ready to go. And he was just motivated, and you could tell. It was pretty funny before the game. Steph, Klay, KD, they got their All-Star jerseys presented to them by Bob Myers. Of course, superstar GM Bob Myers. And I found it funny, just a certain angle that it was shot at had Rudy Gobert directly in the background, you know, getting ready for the game and stuff. And it, I don't know. I thought it was funny. I'm mean, I guess, but it was just a funny shot of him, okay? So definitely something I just wanted to mention. As we all know, Rudy Gobert, not an all-star, and he was not happy about that. Another bad start for Steph last night. Good transition, again, by me. Steph started slowly. Luckily, he didn't go 0-for. He did go 2 of 6 in the first quarter, but again, it just was not a great start for him. I mean, there's no other way around it. KD, it sure was a great start. He ended up going 4 of 5 from the field in the first, and the only miss was from 3. So he was 4 of 4 from mid-range, where he's just so lethal. And I know there's, you know, Warriors fans on Twitter who bitch about him shooting mid-range shots or whatever. Sometimes it needs to be done. And when you're that good at it, you shoot him. I absolutely agree with the three-point revolution, whatever you want to call it, that's happening in the NBA, because look, 3 is more than 2. It absolutely makes sense. But if you can get 2, I'll take that also. I'm not a Daryl Morey, you know, zealot. I disagree with it should be 3s or layups, and that's it. So the fact, especially when you have 3 of the best mid-range shooters in the game, Steph, Klay, and KD, one of the things that Steph was doing last night was he just kept shooting 3s when they weren't falling, early at least. He did end the game going 5 of 14 from 3, which again isn't great, but at least they started falling a little bit. But when you're 8 of 19 from the field, that means you went, what, 3 of 5 from mid-range? Maybe shoot a few more mid-range here or there. And layups, etc. I mean, it's not exclusively mid-range. But I just wanted to say, I bounced back against some of the criticism of KD going, you know, going mid-range or posting up one-on-one or anything, because sometimes you need to, especially when Steph isn't shooting well. So KD, incredibly efficient all night, as he has been all year. He's the best mid-range shooter by percentage in the NBA. The next two are LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan, who, that's their game. That's what they do. To end the first quarter, Quinn Cook had a nice ISO step back mid-range shot that dropped, and the bench went wild. I always have to mention that. Again, regardless of who they get on that 15th roster spot, I need an elite bench celebrator. Because, you know, some of the bench celebrations are good, not great. I think we can step it up. The loss of JaVale McGee, Nick Young, the bench celebrations haven't been as good as they were last year, last couple years. So, and that's big. That's real big. The starters ended the first, well, not ended the first, but the starters were a plus six in there about 4 or 5 minutes together in the first quarter, which is good considering they were like minus 37 over the last two games. And part of that is the offensive rebounding that I mentioned, and the other part is, you know, Steph's slow starts, etc. In the second, Cousins still rusty around the rim. That second unit where he's kind of running the second unit is defensively, it's solid because you've got Andre, Clay, Draymond, and Sean Livingston out there. Offensively, it's struggling a little bit, and that's mostly because Cousins is struggling. He's just rusty. He's just rusty. And I still expect him to knock off the rust and be better and finish better around the rim and outside. The jumpers haven't been falling like I thought they would, and he also hasn't been taking them like I thought he would. And I do expect that to change a little bit, but we will see. A certain kind of scary moment, at least for the initial moment. Clay gets his hand tangled in Donovan Mitchell's jersey, gets it bent like 8 different ways and has to come out of the game, and was out for a solid stretch. A good five minutes of game time, I'd say, to where you're a little nervous. The trainer came back out before Clay did, but eventually Clay comes back out. He's got his ring finger taped to his middle finger because he did dislocate it, and he comes right back in and is fine, good to go. Clay is one of the toughest guys in the NBA, and it's funny just because he doesn't scowl or, you know, look crazy like Russell Westbrook or something, you know, doesn't slam dunk and yell or something. People don't think that, but he is hands down one of the toughest guys in the NBA. Comes back in, no problem, starts hitting shots again. The first shot was kind of off, a little bit. They were forcing it to Cousins in that second unit, which is understandable. I do think there's a level of trying to get Cousins as many touches as possible to expedite his rust, knocking off the rust, whatever. It hasn't worked out great yet, but if it does, then fine, you live with it. But right now, they just kept forcing it to him, and since he wasn't getting it done, it was not good. The second unit kind of stalled. He kind of struggled offensively and defensively, honestly. And again, like I've said, he's graded on a curve right now, and I don't know when we stopped doing that, but this was only his 11th game. So, not incredibly worried about it, but still, it causes to cause for some ugly moments in the game. Steph continued to struggle in the second. I think he went 2 of 5 in the second, which, you know, I guess is better than the 2 of 6 he went in the first. But he did go 2 of 5 from three, just getting those threes up. And one of the things that they did was they ran the Steph KD pick and roll, and that immediately got Steph a wide open three, and then he knocks down another wide open three. So it's tough with Steph, and I've mentioned this, it's tough with Steph and Clay and KD because they can have a bad 30 minutes of a game, but they have a good 5 minutes and they give you a great stat line and still play well. It's just the consistency hasn't been there over the last 5 games for Steph. You know, he could be in a situation. I think the entire team is looking forward to the All-Star break. Last year, it was so clear that they were just out of it and not playing well. This year, they're playing great. They've won 16 of 17 and, you know, number one in the West, all that stuff. But I think this team could still use a quick rest. And I think going home to Charlotte for a couple days for the All-Star festivities and then a couple days off will really be nice for Steph, help him get back to where he needs to be. The Warriors had a 3-point lead at the end of the first half. They're up 47-44, and it was a game that was played at Utah's pace, and that is for the benefit of Utah, obviously. They were making the Warriors work extremely hard for their shots. Utah, not as much. Utah got a bunch of wide open threes, and I still think that's something the Warriors are going to have to work on moving forward, because it's not good to give up wide open threes. It never is. KD was good in the first half, efficient. He struggled from three, but again, that mid-range is just deadly, and he was knocking it down no problem. In the third, the Warriors came out, and like I said, the game was played at Utah's pace, and the Warriors had to work incredibly hard for any shot they wanted. I felt like KD didn't get enough shots when Steph is struggling and Klay can't create his own shot. I wouldn't mind seeing KD get more involved, because through the third quarter, KD had only taken 15 shots. And I know that's, only 15, but Steph had taken 14, Klay 10, DeMarcus 10, Draymond 6. There were times where it was just like, all right, well, instead of a Draymond 3, I'd rather see KD, you know, go one-on-one. And I know we don't love that, but it's when things aren't falling, when no one's shooting efficiently besides Kevin Durant, maybe you let him do that. One of the saving graces, I guess you could say, of this game and of the entire season was Andre Iguodala. He's been playing incredibly well. I mean, great. Some of his best ball for the Warriors since maybe his second year when they won that first title, or maybe the 73 win season. I don't know. He's shooting 37% from three right now on a low number of threes taken, so it can fluctuate, but he hit three threes last night, which I think is the fifth time this year that he's done that. He only did it once last year. And it's such a big help, big reason why they won, because the Warriors were struggling to hit threes most of the night. They did end up going, I think, 13 of 41 for 31%. That's not very good. I've mentioned before about the way Andre's playing that, look, his $16 million is guaranteed next year, no question, no matter where he plays. But he's playing like a guy that wants to make his $16 million in the Bay Area next year. Because there's been, you know, talk of what they could maybe do with that contract, because it's an asset, because they only have so many moves they can make. But the way he's playing, he's earned every penny of it this year. And if he can continue to do that in the playoffs and next year, you gladly pay him the rest of the contract. You gladly keep him around. Klay had a couple of nice finishes at the rim. He had a nice stretch where he knocks down a three, goes in and finishes around Derek Favors. And Klay finishing at the rim is so much better than I could have ever imagined. I mean, I'm sure you guys have all been watching his entire career like I have. And if you remember, the Klay ups is what they were called. I think his dad came up with that, where it was just a wide open rim run and he would damn near get a wedgie. You know, he would clank the thing. So to see him with his touch around the rim, and it's been for a year or two now, but it's just, it's incredible to see, especially considering where he started from. There were two different lineups that were pretty interesting to me that Steve Kerr played twice, where it was the four All-Stars, well, not the four All-Stars, it was four of the All-Stars, Steph, Draymond, KD, Boogie, with Livingston. And I don't have the numbers on it, but they played well. It was an interesting tweak. It also, I believe it's Ethan Strauss who has coined the term for this other lineup, which is the same, Steph, KD, Draymond, Boogie, with McKinney, that he calls the McHamptons Five, for McKinney being in there. And I think they have something like 71 points in 16 minutes. It's an interesting move to have someone else in there for Klay, just because it allows Steph to kind of do his thing. And the thing with McKinney was he's fine just sitting there spotting up, waiting for a pass or go try and get an offensive rebound. So it was an interesting lineup. I kind of want to see more of that stuff, more, I don't know, creativity with these lineups. But, you know, Steve knows a whole lot more than I do. One thing that it wasn't a new thing or anything like that. It's, you know, we've all seen it, but it's just incredible to see when Steph Curry is struggling, that even when he's struggling, he's still capable of just spectacular moments in a game. He had back-to-back threes last night where I swear the first one, like, he caught it at his knees while in his shooting motion, just gets this thing off, knocks it down, and then comes back and hits another tough three to put the Warriors up 8 with 4:40 left. And that capped off a 15-2 run for the Warriors in the four-minute two-second stretch. Excuse me, don't want to you know, short the Jazz there. And one last thing that I noticed, and I mean we all noticed because he played, I think, 9 minutes in the fourth, did DeMarcus Cousins, was towards the end of that fourth quarter, towards the end of the stretch for Cuz, Steve Kerr is down there talking to Draymond about, you know, when he's going to pull Cousins out, and Draymond says, play him, you know, let him go. Cousins played 9:47 in the fourth quarter, by far his longest stretch in a quarter for the Warriors. Now, he was 1 of 7. He wasn't great, and the one was awesome. It was an offensive rebound, putback dunk, and one for Cuz that put them up by 4. So, again, he's got stuff to work on, but he's been fine. He hasn't been a detriment, I'll tell you that. And as far as physically, I don't think it's anything physical with him. I don't think it's because he's lingering effects from the Achilles. He looks healthy, which is a major positive. It's not as if he is coming back and struggling to move or anything like that. Like, here's a throwback. When Andrew Bogut first started playing for the Warriors, you could tell in that first game he was not right. You know, he was not healed. He was not healthy. DeMarcus Cousins is healthy. Now he's just got to work on his game a little bit. But Draymond checked in for Cousins with about 2:13, I guess, officially left in the fourth. And the rest is history. Warriors get the win, 115-108. Going to play some post-game sound, a couple other little nuggets from the game as well. Coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Went a little long on that game recap, but there was a lot to talk about from it. One of the things that I was talking about is DeMarcus Cousins and his struggles so far with this team. And again, it hasn't been terrible. It hasn't been a detriment to the team or anything. But I want to go the other way here. If he gets it together, if he can start being that post player that they expect him to be and that he expects to be and that I'm sure he will get back to, but if he does, this team will be unstoppable. This team will be an absolute beast. And one of the things I noticed last night was they're posting him up straight up. They're not really even looking for mismatches, which is something I would look for a lot more. I would try and get him switched on a guard and let him go to work. That's when he was having success earlier this year when Sam Decker was trying to D him up and Cousins just ate his lunch multiple times. I never understood that term, ate his lunch, but he was eating lunch. That was Sam Decker's, had Sam Decker's name on it. So if he can get it together in the post and find his touch around the rim and outside, this team is going to be unstoppable. Now we'll have to wait and see. I expect it to happen. If it does, if and when it does, forget about it, right? Huh? No, but if he gets back to what they expect, man, it's going to be a whole nother weapon for the Warriors. Draymond Green, as we all know, did not make the All-Star team. Neither did Rudy Gobert. Draymond was asked about it in post-game, and he had a funny answer, but I'm sure it's also true. Here's what Draymond had to say.
The All-Star game, but at the same time, it's kind of nice.
No,
though.
I actually rather be on vacation.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, what are you going to do? Just
I'm
chill
excited.
Out?
I'm excited. Yeah, yeah. I'm going on vacation with my family.
Nice.
And I haven't looked forward to a particular time period in my life so much that I have this week coming up. So, yeah, I am excited about going on vacation.
You don't want to
I'll
be
start in, weekend a grind, man.
You don't want to be in 40-degree Charlotte?
No, I don't really want to be in Charlotte. I still could have went, actually. You know, I could have went to Charlotte. No, I didn't really want to be in Charlotte, though. I wanted to go to a beach. That's what I'm doing. Congratulations to all All-Stars, though. I mean, that's great. It's very comfortable. You know, it's something we all shoot for, you know, in this league, to be one of those 24 guys. Didn't quite happen this year. Cool with me. Vacation coming up, and I can't wait.
So there's Draymond on the All-Star break, throwing a little shade at Steph's hometown also. I'm sure Steph heard all that. But, yeah, Draymond isn't too worried about missing the All-Star game. He's going to be happy with the time off. as well as Steve Kerr and the coaching staff, who are ecstatic they're not coaching this game. But Draymond also played a game that night, and he played his great defense as he usually does, but he thought he was going to be knocking down shots. Here's what he had to say about his game last night.
Just kind of take what the defense gives me. I wish my shot was falling. It felt great, too. I shot the shit out the ball in warm-ups, too. I thought I was going to cash all them things. Every team, you got to pick something that's going to beat you. And if they're going to sag that far off, we got a lot of things that we can do combat that.
Are you almost happy that people started springing this defensive strategy on you guys early in the season rather than if it was May and you have to?
Yeah. Just shows you how serious people take the regular season.
The audio is not great, but a couple of things that were interesting that were said that I wanted to mention was Anthony Slater of The Athletic asked him about the defensive scheme that the Jazz played earlier this year that worked, where they just completely ignored Draymond. Rudy Gobert was guarding him and just sagged off about 12 feet into the paint and just said, go ahead, shoot. We're going to leave you wide open. And Draymond, I think, well, the team, Draymond, everyone has reacted perfectly to it. And I mentioned it after the fact when they played the Rockets, and the Rockets were doing something similar to this with Jordan Bell. And so the Warriors just had Jordan Bell start to set screens around the three-point line to where his man couldn't recover to a wide-open Steph Curry. And Draymond was doing that tonight, set a couple of really smart screens, kind of played the actor role as well, where he's kind of jogging up. My guy just sagged off 12 feet into the paint. Boom. He sets a big screen on Rubio. Steph gets a wide, wide open three. So the way he's reacted to it has been great. And same with the team in general. One other thing that he mentioned was, Anthony Slater asked him about, the fact that the Jazz had showed their hand, I guess, in the regular season, showed him this defense. And Draymond chuckled, shows how serious people take the regular season, which is another good point. It's given them months to work on it and figure out how to react to it instead of it being sprung on them in the playoffs to where, look, they should still be able to figure it out. They're pros. But the bottom line is they've had, two-thirds of the season now to work on it and are pretty good at it. But even with the success the Warriors have had over their last 17 games, KD thinks they can be better, and I don't really disagree with him. Here's what KD had to say.
I think we've been struggling even though we've been winning. We got some injury breaks in this run as well. But I also like how we fought through a lot of different things in this run. We shot the ball well from the three-point line. I think we moved the basketball really well, throughout this run. But we need to play better. I believe that the coaches and all my teammates think the same thing. I just don't want to get too complacent with us winning. We got a long ways to go.
He mentions that he believes that coaches and teammates feel the same way. And yeah, it hasn't been perfect. They have lost one game. No, but they haven't played up to their standard, I'd say, in certain games. But it wasn't a scathing indictment or anything. It was just things they can be better. I think they can too. I do think the All-Star break is coming at a good time. But last night was a Baron Davis bobblehead night, which is awesome. I know anyone who remembers the We Believe team. The We Believe team holds such a special place in the heart of Warriors fans. I mean, basically because not only was it the first time they made the playoffs in 1,000 years, but because of it came out of nowhere. And it was just like this ragtag group of basketball players and just this old grimy coach and Nelly. It was the best. It was a lot of fun. And KD was asked about We Believe and if he kind of remembers them, remembers watching them. And he had a funny response, at least for me, because a certain someone got mentioned in it. But here's what he had to say.
Yeah, that was the summer I got drafted, right before I got drafted, actually. And that, to see the energy in that building through the TV was phenomenal. And that was such a huge upset that, everybody was in front of the TV everywhere I went watching those games. And Baron Davis, that play is going to be remembered here in the Bay Area forever.
Was that almost like an introduction to you, to the Warriors? I mean, they were kind of so bad for like the decade before that.
No, I've been an NBA fan for a long time before then, but they had some goons on that team that I really enjoyed, from Baron Davis to Matt Barnes to Steven Jackson to Biedrins to Al Harrington. They had some good players on that team, and so I watched them a lot. But, you know, that play, Baron Davis was kind of the head of the snake here.
And the person I'm talking about is Biedrins. He brought up Biedrins, which is hilarious to me. Shout out B. Shout out Andres Biedrins. I hope he's killing it wherever he is, man. One of the weirdest situations I've ever seen, dude. The guy averaged a double-double for 2 years and then just looked like he'd never played basketball before in his life. I don't know. Shout out Biedrins. But, yeah, it was a nice shout out to the We Believe team from KD and a good win for the Warriors. Going to take a quick break, come back. Little buyout news happened today. Not for the Warriors, but might affect them tonight. And league pass picks and a little bit more coming at you, coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Charles D. Hamilton, what's happening? Real quick, just want to mention the news of today. Enes Kanter is signing with the Trailblazers, which is, I don't know, kind of weird. I don't know where a ton of minutes are going to come from, because they got Nurkic, they got Zach Collins, who personally I'd play before Kanter, but maybe that's not their plan. Kanter, I doubt he'll be suiting up tonight against the Warriors, but apparently the Lakers had interest and a couple other teams also. It's weird. These are teams that kind of have not great front court depth, but I don't think Kanter really helps it. Wasn't going to happen with the Warriors, I don't think. Way too much of a liability defensively. And what he brings you offensively kind of doesn't really cancel it out. But whatever. Kanter to the Trailblazers. Kind of weird to me. But yeah, who knows? Who knows? We'll see if it helps. But I will say the Blazers have done a good job of turning, you know, scraps more or less into solid players. They took Wade Baldwin and Nick Stauskas, turned that into Rodney Hood, and then picked up Kanter on the waiver wire, the buyout market. So I like how Portland's been run this last year and a half. But has it really helped them that much? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But Kanter is a Trailblazer now. So good for them. Good for them. League pass picks for this evening. Out of the 11 games being played, going to have to go with, I mean, Warriors and Trailblazers is a good one. But as we know, DeMarcus Cousins and Sean Livingston didn't even make the trip, so they're not going to be playing tonight. I would put that up there, but Bucks-Pacers looks pretty good. Except no Victor Oladipo, which kind of takes away from it also. And then there's a lot of lopsided games out there. Kings Nuggets I'm interested in. Kings are playing well. They're 4 games over .500. They are in the 8th seed right now. Nuggets are still damn good, but just haven't kept that, you know, 1 seed pace. That top of the West pace that they've been at. So I'll go Kings Nuggets. And I usually don't do this, but I'll have to go Warriors Trailblazers. Maybe throw in Rockets T-Wolves. So there you go. Check those games out tonight. I will be back tomorrow with another episode of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.